We've been asking and praying and earnestly desiring since really the first of the year, Father, for our people to meditate upon this thought of being able to give $100 a month to the work and ministry here at Sharon Baptist Church in the way of the sewer sanitation services and the church office, Father, and the pastoral studies edition, Father, making this commitment for a two-year period, Father. I pray, Lord, that your people will be found faithful. And God, just as you laid upon this to Joash, Father, you have laid it upon my heart that we'll have 30 people being that will be willing and need to give, Father, this amount for the work of the ministry here at Sharon Baptist Church. So, Father, we pray that your word would go out with great power this morning, and the Holy Spirit would bring great conviction on the hearts of your people. Oh, Father, no doubt some are going to get angry, some aren't going to like it, some are going to say, I just can't afford it. I got a mortgage, I got a car payment, Father. But understand this, God, you could ask us to give you back 90% and us just keep 10%. So, Father, I thank you that you have asked us just to give 10% as a starting point. So, Father, as we give our love offerings today, as we make this pledge, Father, may you be honored and glorified in and through Sharon Baptist Church and in the weeks to come, Father, that we might move forward by faith. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I want to give you a little a background about Joash as an introduction to the message this morning. First of all, think with me for a moment about the life of Joash. Joash has a very interesting life. His life is one of bright spots, but it's also one of dark spots. In verse number 1, we read that Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. He was just a kid when he took the throne of Judah. And for the most part, we find the Bible teaches that he was a godly king. In verse number 2, we find a wonderful testimony of the kind of king that King Joash was. The Bible said, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I believe this, that if we would just stop and get a hold of verse number 2 and apply those truths to our life, not only would Sharon Baptist Church be better, but the kingdom of God and the all that we represent would be better as well. So we find that Joash's background provides insight as to why he had that kind of name that would honor God. In 2 Kings chapter number 11, we learn that his family was slaughtered by the wicked king of Judah. And this wicked queen of Judah actually was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And many of you are familiar with those two names. He was the only one that lived as a result because Jehoiada, the high priest's wife, took and hid him. In 2 Kings 11, in verse number 2, we find this. The Bible says she stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and they hid him, even and his nurse, in the bedchamber of Adaliah, so that he was not slain. So we find that he was saved as a young boy from the wicked queen of Judah, who was the daughter of two very wicked people that were in charge of the nation of Judah. For the next 6 years, we find they would hide him in the temple. For 6 years, the critical, informative years of a young child's life, he was daily surrounded by the things of God and by the godly examples that were provided to him as he was hid in the temple. So it's not surprising that as a young man, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. His example reminds us how important a godly example is. A godly example to your children and your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, your mother and father, your brother and your sisters, and the importance of being in the house of God on a regular basis. I believe this, that the more you're in God's house, the better walk that you're going to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And although those early years of Josiah were marked by a bright spot, regrettably, the ending years of his life were marked, but as I said before, by those dark spots. And so, verse 2 tells us that Joash did right what was in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada, the high priest. I wish I could tell you that the king always did what was right in the sight of the Lord. That's not the case. Just like for you and I wish you and I could say, Pastor, I always do what was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, we know that would not be a true statement if we were to make that. But I wish it would be true. But after the death of the godly influence of the high priest Jehoiada, things literally went south. And the story is told in verses 17 through verse number 21, how certain leaders came in and they persuaded King Joash to compromise and to tolerate the worship of the false god Baal. And it was the beginning of the spiritual decline of both Joash and for the nation of Judah. You see, the king had begun doing what was right in the sight of the Lord, but in the end, he was the object of conspiracy and was killed by his own servants. The ending years of Joash's life remind us that we can never, ever tolerate sin in our life. And when we compromise with sin, it always leads to a destroyed life. And I'm reminded as well, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Secondly, let me just say a word about the leadership of Joash. The leadership. Look at verse 4. The Bible said it came to pass after this that Joash, notice these words, was minded to repair the house of the Lord. You see, during the reign of Joram and Athaliah, the temple had been plundered for the worship of Baal. All the sacred vessels and the items in the temple have been taken for use for the false god of Baal. And as the years passed, we find that the temple began to be in a state of disrepair and a state of decay. The deterioration got worse and worse. And as the leader, we find that Joash found the conditions of the temple to be very, very upsetting. He had a desire and wanted to repair the temple. So his solution was, let's take an offering up and do what God would have us to do. Look at verse 5. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out into the city of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year. So then we find that he built a chest to receive this offering. In 2 Kings 12:9, the Bible says, but Jehoiada, the priest, took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priest that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. So when it came time for the offering, as people entered into God's house, we find that they passed by the altar, they would put their money in the chest. You see, it's biblical for you to come by and drop your offering there in front of you as you go to your seat. And as we prepare to move forward by faith with the church office and the pastoral studies edition and then connecting with the city sewer, I want us to look here how the people gave this offering, how the nation of Judah under Joash decided and they gave this offering. I think a great example of giving can come from it. And we can learn several lessons about our own manner of giving. And the question really that comes to this pastor's mind is this: how did the people give? I think there's several things about how they gave that I want you to see and I want me to see. And time was not going to allow me to elaborate on all these as much as I would like to. But notice, first of all, the nation of Judah and King Joash and the priests and the people, they gave purposefully. They gave purposefully. The reason that God's people gave, according to verse number 5, was to repair the house of God. And notice how personal Joash's command was to the people to give. It's just not, it wasn't just the house of God. But notice he says in those verses, the house of your God. He gave them a personal reason for their giving. They're just not giving to repair a house. They were giving to repair the house of God. They were giving to repair the temple of God. You know, giving is an important part of all that we do around here. And there's a great purpose that we ask you to give because God asks you to give. Notice, first of all, one purpose for our giving is that it's because of the ministry of the house of God. The ministry of the house of God. On other occasions in the scripture, we'll learn that God had commanded giving for the purpose of providing for the daily needs of the temple. You see, he said, you need to give. We got to provide for the daily needs of the temple. It provided the financial resources for the daily operation of the temple. It also provided for those who carried out those operations, those Levites and others that worked around the temple. One of the reasons members give is to provide a financial resource to carry out the ministry and the work of Sharon Baptist Church. You understand there's power bills to pay, there's water bills to pay, and next month, guess what? There's a sewer bill that has to be paid. There's insurance and all kinds of insurances on the buses, workman's comp insurance, fire insurance, all kinds of insurance that we have to pay each and every year. And our giving also allows for us to pay the ministerial staff and all those that support and work here at Sharon Baptist Church. But none of these could be done if it was not for our giving. Well, we give for the purpose of ministry, but then notice something else. We give for the maintenance of God's house. And as we see here in the case of Joash, the giving of the people to God was used to repair the house. Verse 4 says, and Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. This is the building that God has given us here, Sharon Baptist Church. Now, the church is not this building. We refer to it as that. But we look at the campus here that God has given us, and he's given us that we might worship him. He's given us that we might carry out the work and ministry of Sharon Baptist Church. It also provides us a place for all the other activities that go around here, some for inreach and some for outreach as well. You understand this, that these buildings have to be cleaned after every service? Do you understand that things almost, Pastor James cannot have said, on a daily basis have to be fixed? They have to be repaired. Upkeep and maintenance has to go on. Think about it. Who do you think changes the light bulbs? Somebody has to change the light bulbs. Just the other day, Donna and I were taking care of some things, and we had to change a light bulb. So you change a light bulb in your house, but I bet you never thought who changes that light bulb up there when it goes out. Upkeep, maintenance has to be done. How do we take care of the facilities that God has given us and God has entrusted us with? It's through the giving of God's people. I heard a preacher one time say, and I've been guilty of saying this myself, we're going to take an offering. You know, that's really not a biblical term, let's take an offering. We shouldn't have to force people to give. I'm not taking your offering. I think the best thing for us to say, let us receive an offering where you willingly give that offering. And when we understand this great purpose, it changes our view on our giving. The purpose of why they gave was the foundation for the attitude of why they gave. Well, not only did they give purposefully, but then notice their attitude, they gave obediently. Notice in verse number 6, we find that Joash commands the priests and the Levites. He says to bring out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness. And the truth is, what Joash was calling for the people to do was actually commanded by God through Moses years and years ago. Apparently, the people hadn't been giving, and Joash actually was calling the people back to what God has ordained for them to do. And this giving really is an act of obedience to the command of God. All that Joash was doing was, I'm just reminding you of what God commanded you through his servant Moses. And when we give, we're being obedient to God's command. And I know that there are some enlightened people here today. I know there are some spiritual advanced people here today that will say, Pastor, tithing was an Old Testament practice, and we're living in the New Testament period. And to my answer to that, I would say, yes, tithing was under the law. It was in the Old Testament, but it's also a New Testament practice as well. The New Testament doesn't specifically use that word tithe, but it's very clear about our giving. Let me show you a verse that clarifies this New Testament giving. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. We're in 2 Chronicles. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. And here we find a passage of Scripture that's going to clarify our giving in the day and age that we live today. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 2. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 2. Notice what the Bible says. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. I don't think there's a verse in the entire Bible that is more clear about our giving appropriated to you and I today, in the day we live in, than this one. Notice, first of all, this verse speaks of the when of our giving. We are to give, the Bible says, on the first day of the week. The first day of the week being on Sunday. When are we to give what God asked us to give? On the first day of the week. Paul was telling them, when you come into God's house, get your tithe out, get your offering out. That is the day when we are to give it. Then notice the not only the when, but the where of our giving. And their reference is to the first day of the week. It's not specifically mentioned, but it implies that when we're assembling as a local New Testament church with other believers, that is when we are to give it. The church is the place we are to give what God has commanded us. You know, if you were to watch so-called Christian television, and I use that term rather loosely, you have a bunch of poor evangelists getting up there preaching about their need for their radio stations, their need for their television stations, their need to get the latest and greatest Learjet so they can travel all across the whole world. And they're going to tell you this, to send your tithe to them. Listen, I hope you don't send them anything, but the truth of the matter is, God does not desire for them to receive the tithe. The tithe belongs to the local New Testament church. If for some reason you feel led of God to send them a love offering above your tithe to the local New Testament church, then please, that's between you and God to do that. But I believe the Bible teaches that your church is where that you give your tithes and your offerings at. Not only the when of our giving, the where of our giving, we're going to notice the what of our giving. The measure of our giving is to be determined by what the Bible says, that God has prospered us. So in other words, we are to give according to what we have received. If you prospered, that means you received something. And as God has prospered us, we are to give as he has prospered us. And I believe the tithe of the Old Testament is a set standard of giving that was 10%. I think the Bible teaches that. And even though that was under the Old Testament law and was established in the Old Testament, I cannot find anywhere that the Old Testament law of the tithe of giving of 10% was ever rescinded or the standard was lowered in the New Testament. And quite the opposite. Jesus said when speaking to the Pharisees, you ought to give of your tithe, of your mint and your coming and things like that. So Jesus is agreeing with the Old Testament giving of 10% brought forward in the New Testament. And I believe the law of the 10% serves as a continual standard by which we ought to begin our giving in and through the local New Testament church. And when we give our tithe and offering and love gifts and faith promises to the Lord, we're being obedient to God's command in this area of giving. Well, we find that the nation of Judah, they gave purposefully. They gave obediently. But then notice something else. They gave willfully. We don't take time to turn there, but in 2 Kings chapter 12, in verse number 4, we have the same account of the giving that King Joash presented to the people. And the Bible said in that verse, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into, now notice these next few words, into any man's heart, bring into the house of the Lord. So Joash speaks about really two different aspects of giving. First of all, he's saying that they were commanded to do so. And he's speaking about the tithe. It's referred to in this phrase, the money that every man is set at. That's making reference to the tithe. He said, bring your tithe into the house of God. And there's a certain amount that have been set for God, and every man should give that. And it begins at 10%. But he also spoke of giving, notice what it says, that cometh into any man's heart. And this is the giving that exceeds the set amount. That's the giving that exceeds that first 10%. We would call that an offering, sometimes a love offering. And that's the amount over and above our tithe, or the 10% set amount. And there are times when God wants us to give, and he sets an amount on our heart. And I think oftentimes that amount that he wants us to give should be over and above our tithe. Just a couple weeks ago, we had an evangelist, and we asked you to give a love gift toward the evangelist because God loves him, and we want to be a blessing to him. And some of you gave. You gave over and above your tithe to give an offering. That is what he's speaking about here, giving that cometh into any man's heart. And that giving goes above and beyond a normal giving that God commands and is required of you and I. I know for myself and Diana that oftentimes God lays an amount upon our hearts for Diana and I to give in a particular matter, like a love gift or a missionary or something along that way. And this is the kind of giving that Joash is talking about. There is an amount that would be that we would willingly be given by the people, not because we're forced or commanded to, because we desire to. Notice that this amount was gratefully given. There was an amount that every person knew that God commanded them, and that was the tithe. And there's no fighting or fussing or feuding about that. But here in this case, there was an amount that they would give because they just wanted to give. It was an amount they would give out of a grateful heart. Do you remember how Joash approached them about their giving in our earlier reading? The Bible said they were to give to repair the house of the Lord. This was an offering that revealed just how people felt about God, just how they felt about God's house. And the words, your God, again, speak of a personal relationship they had with God. And this relationship with God, who had redeemed them and brought them out into the land flowing with milk and honey that they now possessed. And we find that this offering had come from their heart. It came from a grateful heart for all that God had done for them. Let me ask you this question. What has God done for you lately? How grateful is your heart when you think about giving by forward, by faith, over and above your tithes and offerings? Is there anything that you're grateful for? We find they're giving because they were grateful, but then notice they gave gladly as well. And this wouldn't be an offering taken, but an offering that was received. There wasn't a temple guard standing by the altar with swords in their hands saying, give or die, buddy, give or die. You want an arm or a leg? What do you want chopped off? You got to give or you're going to lose something. It was an act of giving because they were grateful and they were glad to give back to God. You know, when a person gets to the place and they're Christian life that they can give very gladly and they can give gratefully, they learn one of the greatest lessons that a Christian could ever learn in their walk with Christ. Well, not only did they give purposefully, obediently, willfully, but then there's something else. Back to our text in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, look at verse number 11. We find that they gave liberally, liberally. The Bible said in 2 Chronicles 24 and verse 11, now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officers came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. Now here, this is a verse that every Baptist pastor would jump for joy about. The Bible says they gave much money and that they gathered money in abundance. When I read that, I just want to run laps around this building. Well, maybe not building, amen. Maybe the auditorium a time or two. Maybe one of them young bucks would just run for me and I'd say, run one more, run one more. I was at a camp meeting one time And the old guy was preaching. He was, you know, you've ever been to an old-fashioned camp meeting? They're waving their hankies. They're spitting and slobbering and shouting. And he's swinging this hanky like that. And I thought, dear God, don't let that thing fall out of your hands. It hit me in the head. It's all full of sweat and slobber. He's swinging it around. He said, by George, if I could run this tent, I'd run this tent. And like three guys took up, started running. He started counting. 1, 2, 3. He said, a couple more for me. Listen, if I could run after this verse, I would, but I'm not going to. But the Bible tells me that they gave so liberally that the chest had to be emptied on several different occasions. I can hear it now. Dave comes up and whispers, Pastor, the offering plate's full. What should I do? I'm like, take it back and dump it out and keep on passing it around, Brother Dave. Amen. Glory to God. Day after day, service after service, that's what happened. I like seeing the offering plate that's piled up so high that the money's just falling out. I used to be a blessing to this younger couple in our church, and they were both mentally and physically challenged. And we, on the first of the month, they would buy the groceries, and we'd take them out to eat. We'd take them with us. We'd take them to groceries, and they always wanted to go to a Chinese buffet. And me and Diane, they would buy their own. They had their own money, just couldn't drive, didn't have a car. We'd go to a Chinese buffet. And so, you know, buffet means you go back as much as you want, right? But not this fellow. He literally would come back, and he'd have his plate in his hand like this, literally. Am I telling the truth, Dan? Like this, he'd hold it on. As he's walking back, it's falling off, and I'm like, oh, dear. Hope nobody knows who I am here. He'd hold it like this, and we sit down at the table, and I'd say his name, and I said, do you know that you can come back and get more? He said, yeah, but once I sit down, I just want to eat. I don't want to get up. Boy, I'm talking about being piled up full and running over. That's what the offering plates were here for King Joash. When we speak about liberal giving, notice they gave sacrificially. The abundant expressions of their giving indicates that the people gave over and over and over and above what was required, above what was asked. They no doubt gave everything they could, and some gave even probably what someone would look at and say they didn't even have to give. But they were being faithful, and they were giving out of abundance, and they were giving sacrificially. It was an expression of sacrificial giving. Every church is filled with stories about how people gave in some sacrificial way, like someone who was on a fixed income, and they would give a very generous amount the faith promised, or give a big exorbitant amount, although they didn't have much to give, and it was like the last bit of their money, but they were feeling God was leading them in that direction. And all kinds of churches and people have stories how people gave sacrificially in building programs and to start different ministries. Well, we see this liberal giving speaks of how they gave sacrificially, but notice they gave sufficiently. Look at verse 12. And the king and Jehoiada gave to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So they gave enough to do the work that was in the heart of Joash. The people gave following the commandment of God. I found that when there's a real need in the work of God, that if people will give obediently, people will give willfully, people will give liberally, guess what? The need is going to be met. I can only imagine how exciting it must have been when the workers marched into the temple to begin taking their tools, begin to repairing the temple, since it was in such disrepair. There must have been shouts of praise and shouts of joy filling the air as the workmen began to get ready. Well, notice they gave purposefully, they gave obediently, they gave willfully, they gave liberally, but they noticed something else, and then they gave joyfully. They didn't look at what Joash asked them to do as a burden or an inconvenience. When Joash asked the nation of Judah in Jerusalem and the priests and Levites to go collect the offering, they didn't look at it like, oh no, here he goes again. The king's asking for some more money. Oh no, they didn't look at it as a burden. They didn't look at it as inconvenience. As far as I can tell, we don't read of anyone in the passage that was got upset or began to grumble or began to question why God's house had to be repaired. Notice in verse number 10. And all the princesses and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Notice very carefully God's word. He says all the princesses and all the people rejoiced when they gave. Everyone was included. Everyone took part in what Joash, following the command of God, asked the people to do. You know, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, God loveth a cheerful giver. Listen, there were some happy, some excited people that day. It should never, ever be a burden to give to God. It should be a blessing. It should not bring tears of sorrow when we give our offerings or our love gifts or our tithes to God. It ought to bring tears of joy as we rejoice because God has enabled us to give a little bit more. Well, notice how the people looked at their giving. They looked at their giving with a great purpose and privilege, a great purpose and a privilege. You know, we've already seen that the purpose behind their giving was to repair the house of the Lord. And as a result of that great purpose, it became a great privilege to give. We ought to count it a privilege to be able to go forward by faith and say, God, I'm excited about this thing. I'm going to give. I have a privilege to give to what you're doing here at Sharon Baptist Church. After all, they were giving to repair the house of God. And they were giving to have a place that glorified God and magnified the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as it was their privilege to give, it's our privilege as well. This offering also became a, get this now, a yearly practice and a priority. It became a yearly practice and a priority. Look, notice verse number 5. As we read down through verse number 5, we find that it says, the offering was to be received, get this now, year to year. Now, this special offering wasn't speaking about the tithe, that first 10%. It was saying a special offering to repair the house of God year by year, on one big day, one big offering that was going to take place from year to year. The people couldn't say, I'm glad this is only one time because I'm about broke after I give to this offering. No, they couldn't say that. It was year to year. It was a practice that was established from year to year. Hey, aren't you glad our Forward by Faith pledge is only for 2 years? Amen. God could say, we're going to ask you to give in that abundance year after year after year. But listen, our pledge is only for 2 years, from beginning in July through July 3rd of 2022. You see, the purpose of their giving made this offering a national priority. And our giving as well should be a priority in our life. Every week, one thing that is certain, one thing that is settled should be our giving to God. The part that's been set aside, that first 10%, and then the other part as we purpose in our hearts to give. Well, the nation of Judah, they gave purposefully. They gave obediently. They gave willingly and liberally and regularly. And thank God they gave joyfully to the repairing of the temple. And this morning we're going to ask you, we've been asking you since January to pray about, to be thinking about this matter of moving forward by faith. And we said Ezra 3:8 as our theme verse, to set forth the work of the Lord. And I wonder this morning, would you be willing? I wonder this morning, would you be obedient to God just as the princesses and the people were to Joash as he relayed God's command to his people? And today we're asking God for 30 giving units. You say, what's a giving unit? Well, if you're husband and wife, that could be one giving unit, one household. Or perhaps it could be two giving units. We're asking God to provide and believe he has earmarked this number, that there is 30 giving units here at Sharon Baptist Church that could give a minimum of $100 a month to go towards the city sewer and sanitation and the work of the church office and the pastoral studies edition. And so as I close this morning and have a word of invitation, giving you another opportunity to pray about what God would have you to give, I wonder, would you be one of the 30? Would you be one of the 30? Let's pray. Heavenly Father,